My mother warned me before I came to the States, whatever you do, don't drink the water. It's just a little payback, that's it. I'm drinking it. I'm being good. The Bible tells us of a centurion man who had great faith. Had so great faith that it made an impression on our Lord, and the Bible says that Jesus marveled. Now, I marveled at the fact that Jesus marveled, and I'm impressed at the fact that Jesus was impressed. Now, for me and you to be impressed is not that difficult. We're people easily impressed. Anything impresses nowadays. We're impressed with fast cars. We're impressed with big trucks. We're impressed with guns and ammo. We're impressed with big, anything that's big, really, amen. We're impressed with food. We're impressed with money. We're impressed with sports figures. We're impressed with talented. I mean, everything impresses us. Women are not that easily impressed, but you take them to a mall and they'll be impressed. That's just the way we're easily impressed. New technology coming each day, and people are literally sitting in rooms seeing how they're going to make you to be awe and buy the stuff that they need to impress you. But what do you have in your life? What do you have to offer to give that's going to make an impression on the Lord? We are talking about the creator of the heavens and the earth. We are talking about the one that spoke everything into existence. We are talking about the one that made the lame to walk and made the blind to see. We're talking about the most beautiful, the Rose of Sharon. We're talking about the mighty Son of God. And he's impressed. I'm impressed. Some things I believe real quick in this verse that I believe made an impression on our Lord Jesus Christ that were in the life of this man. Very, very simple this evening. First of all, a faith that causes our Lord to marvel is simply this. It's a faith that loves other people. Other people. You know, by nature, we're selfish people. We're very selfish. We're taught to look out for ourselves. We're taught that nobody take advantage of us. We're taught since being little to be awake, to be smart. Don't let nobody get you. You look out after you, and you look after those that are rightly behind. And just don't trust anybody. Don't trust others. Keep to yourself. And that's how we are. All people are that way. But here's a man that when he has the attention of the Lord Jesus Christ and he can ask anything of himself. Now, this is not the first man that comes asking Jesus for something. Constantly people are coming to Jesus, rushing to Jesus, begging Jesus to do something. The only difference is the majority of the people are always asking something for themselves. And when this man can ask anything, he asks something not of himself, but for somebody else. His heart is broken. He's broken. He's into tears. He's into shambles because of the need of somebody else. And you know, we're more Christ-like. We're more like Jesus when we take the attention off of ourselves and we think about others. Boy, you want to know a carnal Christian? And I know this is a spiritual church, but you want to know a carnal Christian is a Christian that's just worried about me and me. And nobody shook my hand, and nobody thought about me, and nobody recognized me. You want to know a carnal church? Well, let's make it about us. Let's make it about us. We don't have place for missionaries. We can't have a missions conference. We can't let a missionary speak. It's all about us. But what example did our Lord Jesus Christ give us? What was the reason that I believe he was so impressed with this man? Our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he came and he lived for others. He gave his life to serve others. He gave his life and he died not for sins that he committed, but he died for the sins of others. And he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for the sins of others. Others, you want to be close to the heart of the Lord? You think about others and not yourself. You pray for others. You do for others. You serve for others. You look what you can do for others. Secondly, a faith that causes our Lord to marvel is a faith that loves the unloved. Here's a very powerful man. Here's a man that's done well for himself. And his heart is broken over somebody that people don't consider he's important. You know, in society, in these moments, servants, just a good word for a slave, servanthood is nothing new. Being a slave is nothing new, and it's not just for one specific race. All kinds of people were enslaved. In Mexico, there were slaves. There were Indian tribes who enslaved other Indian tribes, and that was just a... You say, Brother Gomez, that's not right. Yeah, but that's our sin nature. Ain't no politics or politician ever going to fix that. Right. Let me get back to my point. Yes. Servants weren't treated very good. Servants weren't like servants anywhere throughout history. They weren't considered important. But here's a man that his heart is broken over somebody that society considers not to be important. You know, we all like to do something or love someone that can help us out along the way. Someone that's got a little pool. Someone that's got a little money. Someone that's high up the ladder. Someone that can help you out. I mean, we all want to be friends with somebody that does all right. But who cares for the unloved and the cast down? And who cares for that person who can't even help himself? Who cares for that person that's falling into addictions and is falling into a mess? Who cares for a people that can't do nothing for themselves or nobody else? Jesus cares. You understand that the Bible says while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. We weren't any better than this servant. We couldn't help ourselves. We were lost in our sins. We were lost in our bondage. But thank God one day Jesus had mercy and he loved us with a love unspeakable. None of us here tonight ever deserved the love of God. Man, you want to make an impression on the Lord? You give a gospel tract to someone who's asking for a coin there at the corner. You go to that home where police is in and out and it's broken and shattered. You go out there and you tell them that Jesus loves them. You go to that one that everybody already gave up hope, and you tell them that the gospel is the answer. Boy, that'll make an impression on our Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, a faith that loves others. But the Bible tells us here in verse 5, the Jews said of this man, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. So here are the Jewish people interceding for this man. And they say, he's a good man. He loves our nation. And it's something to say that you love somebody, but it's another thing to do something for them because you love them. He said, this man loves our people so much that he built us a synagogue. He went into his pockets, and obviously he had some deep pockets, and went into his money, and he foot the bill, he paid, so they could build a synagogue. This is a good man, they said. He loves our nation. Now, in Jesus' time and what's going on right now, the Roman people and the Gentiles, they don't like each other very well. Romans kind of keep to themselves, and they have a view of the Gentiles as being unruly, just being not well under authority, rebels. They've tried to rebel before. That's just the way they are. The Jewish people look at the Romans as the oppressors and just the people with power and just oppress people and take everybody's taxes. And man, they hate each other. They don't like each other. Well, somehow this Roman centurion didn't get the memo. He loves the Jewish people, and the Jewish nation loves him. I don't know if it's their food. I don't know if they like to eat together. They just like each other. Everywhere Jesus is going, there's strife and there's differences. But here's these guys, you know, they get along pretty well. And again, Jesus marvels. I've already heard about the 13 families or so that have been out in the field, in the mission field from this church, and your fame and your love for God and the nations of the world has gone everywhere and is heard of. But just for the sake of what I'm preaching tonight, thank God for this country. With all his mistakes and errors, and well, it seems like it's going backwards each day, but with all of that, it's still the best country in the world. I said, it's still the best country in the world. Things aren't always right, things are like they are, but it's the best country in the world. And you ought to love this country. It still stands for freedom, for justice, for liberty. It still sends out missionaries like no other country, prints Bibles, gospel, tracts. Thank God for this country. But may God also give us a heart for other nations, other people who might not be as fortunate as what you may have here. He loved other nations. And Jesus is impressed. You know how we love the nations of the world? Giving them the gospel. Now, I'm not against anything, and Pastor will come here in a minute, but you can give hungry people food, and sooner or later, they're going to be hungry again. But if you give them of the bread of life, that'll make an impact. You can give people clothes and clean water. But if you give them of the living water, it'll never run dry. It'll never run dry. It'll make a difference. And I believe Jesus is impressed with a church, with a people, with a family that loves the nations of the world, that loves missions and loves missionaries. And Jesus comes in, and if he could, I believe this is a nice, beautiful building. I told your pastor of it. It's a miracle what God done here. But I believe that what make an impression on our Lord more is your love for the nations, sending missionaries and through missions. A faith that loves other nations. Lastly, a faith that causes our Lord to marvel is a faith that puts his trust on the Word of God. Jesus is going to the house of the centurion, and centurion has done well for himself. I think he's living pretty well. Comes Jesus to the house, and he says, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. In other words, I know who I am. I know what I've done. Yes, these Jewish people think that I'm somebody good and everybody thinks I have a good reputation, but I'm not worthy. I know I'm a sinner. I know what I've done. I know what I did this week. I know what's in my past. I know what I've done. You're the Son of God. I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. And if you're ever going to come to Jesus, and if Jesus is ever going to do something for you, you got to come to a point where you understand that you're a sinner and your sin separated you from God. But thank God this evening, God loves sinners. Amen. I'm not worthy. But he says, but say the word, saying a word, and my servant might be healed. My servant shall be healed. There's a good chance that my servant shall be healed. My servant shall. I know for a fact that if you say the word, I know there's power in your word. I know there's authority in your word. I know there's healing in your word. I know there's nothing impossible for you. And I believe in the power of your word. Just say your word. You know how somebody gets saved and born again? You know how you can be saved tonight if you're not? Well, all you have to do is believe the word of God, believe the Bible. The Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also says that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. And Jesus said that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Believe his word tonight and be saved. Whether we know it or not, we all live to make an impression. You know what little Bella was doing there while she was singing? She was trying to impress you. We're kids and we want to impress our parents. We grow up and become teenagers and young people, and we want to impress our peers. Boy, that gets us into trouble, right? We don't care what mom says, dad says, the preacher says. We want to impress our, we want our peers to think we're cool. That's what we live for. Young people will cut their hair a certain way, will dress a certain way, will pierce themselves a certain way, just so other people think they're something. We grow up and that kind of goes away, and we get married and we want to impress our mother-in-law. That never works. But we're always trying to impress somebody. May we live to impress him. Who cares what this world thinks of us? Amen. Who cares what your family, if they're not saved, might think of you? Who cares what society thinks of you? What matters is what he thinks of us. Yes. And if he's impressed with the way you live and the way you serve and the way you love and the way you dress and the way that you're faithful to God, that's all that matters. And at the end of the day, the Bible says that when he saw the faith of this centurion, he marveled. If he would look at our lives, would he marvel? I know our best... Before Jesus, our best works are as filthy rags. But I do believe that in Christ, we can strive to impress him. Who are you trying to impress? Bible says that when Jesus saw the faith of this centurion, he marveled. You know, the one thing that causes our Lord to marvel without fail, faith. Faith. It's not impressed, it's not moved with your success, with your money, with your genes, with your looks. He's impressed with faith. Where is your faith at this evening? Who are you trying to impress? Would you come? Say, Lord, I want to live to impress you. Let's bow our heads. Pastor, would you come and you make an invitation, please?
Let's all stand.